I'm here with Mike Eckel, a senior correspondent of Radio Free Europe. Thank you so much for coming. My first question is, what led you to become a journalist?
I graduated in college. I studied Russian because it was an interesting language to learn at the time, and it was not too long after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And my Russian studies led me to work in Russia for several jobs after I graduated as an undergraduate from an American university. While working out of Moscow, I did a lot of traveling, leaving locations, and as a part of my work, I had to write up trip reports about my travels, and I discovered I had a knack, a flair for writing and reporting and observing where I traveled, who I met with, and that led me to think, well, I think I'm a good writer, and I enjoy traveling, and I enjoy talking to people, and eventually that led me to a writing program in the United States, and then led me to becoming a reporter.
What do you think are the biggest mistakes beginner journalists make?
Probably two things. One, I would say people don't listen enough. I mean, one of the greatest skills a reporter can have is to know when to just shut up and listen. Let people talk. Let people explain how they think, why they think, what they're doing, how they look at the world. And, you know, you as a reporter shouldn't be necessarily a part of the story. I mean, you're an observer, you're a recorder of events. I mean, that's not always the case. Sometimes you as a reporter have a role to play, but for the most part, as a reporter, your job is to record and observe and witness, and then to process that into news, journalism, stories, broadcasts. So that would be the biggest suggestion. It's just you need to listen. And by listening, I mean not just, you know, audially, but also listening and taking notes and being a very good observer. The second is, for a beginner, someone just starting out, don't think you're going to win a Nobel Prize or a Pulitzer Prize in a year or two. Don't think you're going to work at, you know, at Respect Magazine or the New York Times or the BBC or Le Monde right out of journalism school. You have to be patient, and you need to work hard and work long hours and work under crappy conditions oftentimes. So you need to be patient, because it takes time to build up the skill and the experience to know how to report and observe and to write well. So those are the two things that come to mind right off the top of my head.
What work of yours are you the proudest of?
Two stories. One was a story that took place in 2004. I was working in Moscow. I had been sent there as a correspondent to work for the Associated Press, the news agency. And in September 1st, 2004, in the southern Russian town of Beslan, seized the school and took more than 1,000 people, men, women, and children, hostage, and held them as hostages for nearly 3 days at the school. Went down there to cover the event and was there pretty much from the very beginning until the very end. And it was absolute madness. And it was an important event. You know, journalists be doing what I was doing because I was telling the world, trying to explain to the world just the trauma of this event and the emotions that these people were feeling and experiencing, and trying to hold it together myself as a human being. I'm proud. I'm not sure I'd say I'm proud, but it was definitely one of the most powerful journalistic events that I had ever covered. The second event I'll tell you about is from my current job with Radio Free Europe when I was working in Washington, D.C. 2015, a man who used to work in the Kremlin for President Vladimir Putin was found dead in a hotel room in Washington, D.C. It was a very suspicious killing to begin with, because this man had been in the inner circle of Putin going back a decade prior. And as time went on, there were more and more questions about what happened and how this man was killed. Eventually, the police report and the official report about his death was released by the Metropolitan Police Department and the federal government. And it said this gentleman, his name was Mikhail Lesin, that he died accidentally. He died because he fell down and he was drunk, basically, the official report was. And, you know, like a lot of reporters, a good reporter is someone who refuses to take no for an answer. And I knew this story was not true. And I couldn't figure out why the United States government was covering up the killing of this gentleman. And so I kept filing Freedom of Information requests, basically legally authorized requests with the FBI, with the Justice Department, with the coroner's office, the medical examiner's office, to try and get to the bottom of this. Most of the major media moved on from the story. The New York Times, the Washington Post, they accepted the official response, and that was that. I kept filing Freedom of Information requests, and ultimately, with my company's help, I filed a lawsuit to compel the medical examiner to turn over the autopsy records. And indeed, we got the records, we won our case, and we discovered that indeed this gentleman, Mikhail Lesin, had died of a broken neck, a bone that was known for being broken only under very specific circumstances. Basically, when a person either hangs himself with a rope, a noose, or if they're strangled to death. And this was a powerful finding that basically called into question what the U.S. government said about this gentleman's murder. Again, a top Kremlin official who was killed just two blocks from the White House, and the U.S. government is covering up his murder, and we still don't know why to this day. So that's my other second proudest moment to share.
That's amazing. Must be very satisfying to find something like this.
Yes, it's satisfying for any reporter, but particularly to say the United States government is lying about this, and we don't know why they're lying about it. Prove it. That's a powerful thing, and that's the goal of a journalist to do this kind of thing, to never to take no for an answer and to uncover these truths.